He has been a devotee since 1959, so 43 years now. And he also oversees the Hare Krishna movement in Southern California. And so he comes and lectures here just a few times a year. So please give him your kind attention and a big round of applause.
Now, I hate to move you out of your comfort zone, but those of you who are not doing something, can you come closer? I don't bite, I'm vegetarian.
Yes.
Come closer. Come closer. You guys, heels against the wall. I won't throttle you. You can stay arm's distance. We'll be safe. Come on.
We get a smaller crowd today. This will
be a little closer. That wasn't much. That's why I can't kill you guys. I can't kill you from against the wall.
All right, that's a valid
argument. Now, the other thing is, are your cell phones shut off?
Yes, perfect.
Cell phones shut off. Don't worry, the bad news will still be there 40 minutes from now. In our London temple, if your cell phone goes off during the talk, the tradition is that you have to give £10. Which is substantial money. So be warned, forewarned. And the last thing is crying babies. We usually get but I don't see any now. I usually manage to get at least 3 babies to cry. So we'll see how we do this. I did take a few notes, so let me just find that. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari Nirvase Sasunvali Vaskachari Satarani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Bhuva Kavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
I thought
we'd go at this a little bit different than usual as far as the topic. I was talking with a man just a couple days ago, and he was saying all of this is magical thinking, this business of soul and there being a Supreme Lord Krishna, and there being a spiritual world, kingdom of God, another dimension, which everything is Sat Chit Ananda, full of knowledge, eternity, and bliss. This is all the dying goat somewhere. He said, this is all wishful thinking. And then simultaneously, I was reading some from one of our spiritual source books, Srimad Bhagavatam, and there's a word that pops up quite often, and that word is Sumedasa, and it's talking about good brain, good intelligence. So putting this two things together, this is sentiment or wishful thinking. The simpletons, you know, like we believe in a Santa Claus. So, okay, you believe there's somebody in the sky who's listening to all your prayers. Okay, fine. You know, you want to believe that if it gets you through the night, okay with me. But not for me. You know, I'm an independent thinker. So I wanted to just... And there's also a... For those of you who are closer to us and know more of our philosophy or whatever, In the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a chapter called Lord in the Heart. And the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, our Acharya, or the seminal teacher for the Hare Krishna movement, Srila Prabhupada, he puts together a very wonderful progression, all based on logic. So I thought I would just try to do that tonight, with a little bit of, not just starting with the accent of, it says in our Shastra, not to club you over the head with the good book, so to speak, but rather to, let's do a logical progression. And you can tell me where you think, oh, once again, not to spend too much time in the present, in the preparation or the preface, but at the end I'm going to ask you, we're going to come to several points, we're going to come to several key understandings. And then I'm going to ask you, was it logical or where's the magical thinking? In other words, my premise is, and the premise of, I was on a morning walk with the founder of the Hare Krishna and Srila Prabhupada one time. And he actually said to someone, he said, put aside Shastra for the moment, put aside scripture, put aside, you know, let's talk logic. So just taking that theme, not to discount Shastra or the scripture, but just for a moment, let's go from the logical side. I had a friend, I say had because he's passed away. His name was Sadhguru, double PhD, Cornell University, one of the smartest people in theory I'd ever met in my life, also intelligent spiritually. And he said there was an experiment, and some of you may know this experiment, and I forget the name of it. But you put on these glasses, they were like pyramidal or whatever it is, at like a prism, and they reversed everything. So all of you would be upside down. You follow? It would look to me like you're all sitting on the ceiling and that this is the floor. You follow? It inverted everything. And you can imagine it's completely discombobulated to be in such a situation, right? Very disorienting. But the curious thing, and they would have them do just for fun, or to confirm the bizarreness of their vision, they would try to pour a glass of water. You follow? But in the inverted state, you actually have to hold the cup like this, and you hold the pitcher like this, and the water goes up. That's a pretty tough thing to go through, you know? But they, curiously enough, they found that after, it wasn't long, it was after maybe a day or two, let's be generous, let's say in a week, people's minds adjusted, their sense of bearing adjusted, and they were holding the cup, pouring the water, everything was working out fine. And then the very interesting thing is that when they took the glasses off and reverted toward normal vision, you follow me? Their actual, the natural state of things, they were again completely discombobulated. And they were trying to pour like a glass, you know, in an order, but they were doing it in their inverted fashion, spilling water all over. They were completely, again, disoriented. Our premise is that we are in a disoriented state. We think that we are this body, that we're a combination of chemicals, and that I'm black or white or male or female, that I live 50, 60 years. We think that happiness is the measurement of how my senses are titillated. You know, if I can drink something, taste something, scratch an itch, if it's hot, I put on the air conditioner, or, you know, air conditioner, I put on, if it's cold, I put on the heater. Then we think, well, this is happiness. You know, we go into the negative field and we come to zero. You follow? I'm cold and I come to, mediate that or remedy that state. And think, oh, this is happiness. If I have a scratch and I itch it, oh, happiness. But it's the same thing. If I have a little titillation on my tongue and I put something in, oh, I'm happy. But is that really happiness? Is that all it is to go from negative to zero, negative to zero, negative to zero? Is there any positive realm? And everything in this world, I mean, we could spend a lot of time, was it Mata Sparsha? No, what am I looking for? But everything is temporary. Agamapayano Nityas. Everything is temporary. So, but we've accepted that, just like we accept the glasses, we've accepted that as the norm. So, we think we're this body. We think that things are going on by chance, by random combination. You throw the dice enough times, you're going to get a 12. Enough random combination, we came about. The world is the original free lunch. It came from a singularity. Not from nothing. Everything came. I mean, all these things are rattling around, at least in the modern... there used to be a beer commercial. Just as a sidelight, it actually saved my son. When my son was going to high school, I was going to college, and you know, they were away from home for the first time, and all kinds of peer pressure. My son, and he is still a devotee by Krishna's grace, but there was a lot of pressure on him to drink beer. He heard Srila Prabhupada say on a tape, beer smells and looks like horse urine. Completely saved him. Because every time somebody would offer a drink, what is this nasty stuff? And it is just some fermented nasty stuff. But we think there was a beer commercial that said you only go around once in life, so get all the gusto you can. Okay. But what if you don't only go around once in life? What if everything you do, there's an action and reaction? We've survived so many changes in this body, right? My parents went to their, of course my father's passed away, but it was their, I think it was their 60th high school reunion, Beverly Hills High. Skippy was in a walker, Curly was bald, you know, I mean, nobody recognized anybody. Everybody had name tags, and only by the, oh, hey, how are you? By, you know, the way they, everything's changed. I've changed in the last 15 years, 10 years. So we've survived, what is it, from so many, from childhood to boy to youth to old age, we've survived so many changes. Isn't it? Practically speaking, we have a completely new body. Even was it, the brain system changes fast. They used to think brain cells don't change, but brain cells also do change. So this whole body has changed. We've survived so many changes of bodies, right? What is the, here's the tradition, this is for you, young man. Are you ready? What is the riddle of the Sphinx? What walks on four legs at morning, two legs at noon, and three legs in the evening? Anyone know this? Any of the young, yeah, and I'm looking for someone younger. But. All right, because we'll let you say, what is it?
Human.
I don't believe you. Make your case. So youth, so the morning, four legs, is? Child is crawling, right? So noon, two legs? Adult. Three legs? Old man and the king. So we know that. We've survived all of those, you know, those of us that are at that age, you know, you've survived so many changes. Why shouldn't we also survive the so-called change of death? We'll get into that more in a second. But, so my simple point is, we accept so many things. You only go around once in life, what if you don't? You know, every other object in motion is ruled by laws. Isn't it? Every action is an equal and opposite reaction, laws of physics, law of gravity. It's not that if you walk off a building and don't look down, you don't fall, you know, like in the cartoons. The guy walks out the door, walks out the second floor window, and he's just floated, walking along, and all of a sudden he looks down, and then he falls. No, we know. I tried this. At 8 years old, no, I was 6 years old, my brother was eight, he convinced me that I put on a cape, and I thought if I ran off our garage, a two-story garage roof, if I ran fast enough I could fly. I was quickly divested of that illusion. You know, whether I accepted gravity or not, I broke bones. My father says it was never the same. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that we are, what is it, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Tomorrow you will die. Actually, it's New Year's. Of course, you're all, this is why you're not a group here, but eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow they wake up with a hangover and realize they made a complete idiot of themselves. That's another thing. And make a resolution New Year's to never do that again. But the point is, we have all these things rattling around in our minds. So, but we're saying those are false concepts. We're not this body. There is a spiritual world. There is a designer behind. We say all this. People challenge. You say that our worldview is wrong, but we've done so many wonderful... Look at what we've done. You know, we're in outer space. Hubble spaceship. But look what we've done in the medical field. How can you say that we're wrong? We're making progress. Polynesian Islanders, and I forget exactly which island in the South Pacific, I think Tahiti and a couple others, they operate, used to operate, under a completely false concept. They had a little coconut, you know, dugout canoe. And they used to believe when they're on the ocean and you're rowing, they used to believe that the boat is stationary, like this, and I'm pulling the world past me. You follow? Boat stationary, just like, you know, and like, we all laugh. That's ridiculous. There must have been a lot of coconut wine went along with that concept, you know? But they traveled all the way from Tahiti to Peru and back. Anyone know the distance? Where's my factician? Is that a word? Right? I don't mind your factician. It's at least 3,000 or 4,000 miles, isn't it? Gotta be. On a totally wrong concept. They did an amazing feat of navigation. So just because we've accomplished something, we haven't really solved the real problems in life. Birth, death, disease, and old age. Instead of dying of bubonic plague, we're dying of AIDS, of cancer. Or all kinds of weird things are happening. Bird flu's coming back at us. So we're still dying, birth, death, disease, and old age. We just changed the flavor. But the point I'm trying to make is that people can function quite well on a complete, you know, within a little parameter, with a completely wrong concept. Look at the ants. Look at bees. They have extremely complicated social systems, and they accomplish major things. You know, if you were to shrink down to their size, what they've accomplished in their soil, I mean, I don't think even people get mugged. Do they get mugged in the ant colony? I mean, you can't, any major city in America, you know, I wouldn't want to be there late at night. Someone was telling me with our politicians, we should, what do they call it when you get inaugurated? When you first get it, if you get elected and they put you in your post, I forget what the word is at the moment.
Take an oath.
Yeah, well, take an oath or whatever it is. They said they should speed things up and indict them at the same time.
Oh.
You know? I don't think you have corruption in the ant colony or you know, so many different things. My point being, people can function quite well with sophisticated systems with a completely wrong concept. So the argument, oh, we've accomplished so much, how can you say that our premises, you know, our principles of the world are wrong? No, we don't have to buy that. Huh? Let's start with argument from design. Wherever we see order, there's my first kid. Is he going to cry? Let's see. Yeah, that's right, Mom. Keep an eye on it. Thank you. Wherever we see order, wherever we see pattern, wherever we see symmetry, you walk into a room and you like the design. One of the beauties of Apple products, of course everything is, I don't get a permission for this by the way, but you know, and it's all self-centered, iPod, iPad, iMac, you know, iDisc, iPhone, it's all I, it's all prestige, but that's another thing. So, but it's the beauty of design. They're very well designed. I mean, you have to join a cult. You have to follow the whole Apple world, but that's another issue. But the fact of the matter is they're very beautifully designed products. Did that happen by chance? We know that they thought, they have a whole division that thinks about design, how to design the thing. My point being, wherever you see order, wherever you see pattern, wherever you see design, what's behind it? There's intelligence. We'll deal with whether it's a person or not in a second. But we know that there's intelligence. Rather, the exact opposite is true. Wherever you see chaos, wherever you see things disorder, who's in charge? What's happening here? It's the absence of intelligence. Is that magic of thinking or is that logical? This world is so finely calibrated. Everything fits in, you know, so perfectly. And that all happened by chance? I mean, where do you want to stop? Let's take another example. Sometimes they say, they'll challenge. They'll say, actually the whole world is chaos. But in order to, you know, as early hunters and gatherers, as a sidelight, Srila Prabhupada said that the missing link is my foot in their face. Then he said, I was there. Prabhupada said that they evolved from monkeys. Where's the evolution? They still act like monkeys. Then Prabhupada said, he said, your ancestors may be monkeys. I said, but my ancestors are the great Vedic sages of India. So, but that's a whole other issue. But the challenge is, as early hunters and gatherers, you know, who are out there, you know, evolved from cavemen, whatever, that there's such an overwhelming mass of information coming in. All of our senses are being overwhelmed. Actually, it's all chaos. But in order to process it, we impose a sense of order. There's really no order. This is a challenge you'll hear. But we've just imposed it so we can function. It's the mind's recourse for processing information. But actually, there's no order. Let me ask you a question. The simple fact is, can anyone in this room, is that a cell phone?
Yeah.
And did you duck out to shut it off, or did you duck out to avoid paying the 10 pounds?
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Huh?
It's a temple lock.
Oh, it's a temple lock. Sabotaged by my own. Anyway, these things are going on. Can you name something simple that evolves into something complex with no intelligence involved? Can you take an old, of course you don't see this in Laguna Beach, but suppose there's a car on bricks with the wheels off it. An old, you ever been to Arkansas? Anyway, ever been to West Virginia? You've seen a car with the wheels off it, right? Rusted out. I've seen cars that they've actually got a planter in the backseat, they're growing geraniums out of it, right? Do you ever see that car evolve into a new Bentley? Or Jaguar? Does it ever happen?
No.
Does it ever happen?
Yes.
You? No. Who said yes? Where? Just trying to play with my mind or what? You know? It doesn't happen. You don't think about it. What does the Krishna say? Both are Amjatakapasam. That he's the Sarvaloka Maheshwara. That's what I'm looking for. Sarvaloka Maheshwara. That all creation, all planets have come from him. Where's the time? I'm looking at the time factor. Anyway, we'll just roam around. I was on a flight one time on my way to India, and I was flying from Los Angeles on my way to India. I was going to the Pacific Route. And there's a plane was completely packed. I'm dressed like this. A lady came to sit, there was only one seat left. It was obviously her seat. And she was completely, as they say, dressed to the nines. I don't know what they say now, but completely decked out. You know, all, everything painted nicely, hair, eye, you know, the whole thing, you know. Obviously steeped in the materialistic way of life. And she looked at me, her seatmate for the next 13 hours, like I had leprosy. Oh, I got one of these monks and he's mumbling to himself. We have prayer beads. Oh my God, it's a shame. He's mumbling to himself. He's got the whole way. You know, like I had a t-shirt. Ask me about my religion. You know, no, thank you. That's the last person you want to sit next to. So then they brought out, you know, the headphones or whatever. You want to watch the movie, you know, Rocky 14. I said, no, my God. Trust me, I got plenty to read. I'm a happy man. She was like, oh, jeez. then, you know, mealtime, you know, they bring out all the dead bones and feathers, and, you know, you get to pick through all that. And, you know, I had a nice prasad of, you know, food from the temple. So I had, you know, in the window, a little atali, you know, stacked like a tiffin. So I opened up my tiffin, and she says, oh, my God, I get this guy picnicking next to me on the plank. The guy on the other side was really happy and said, hey, what do you got there, you know? So you with body language, he's leaning like, jeez. What could I do? Not minding my own business. About maybe an hour out of Japan, Tokyo, we're going to Narita, whatever it's called, the airport there. He said that we're going to hit some turbulence. So everybody put their seatbelt on, and you know, it's, you know, I fly a lot. It's not fun, trust me, it's for Krishna. Anyone who flies a lot, it wears on you after a while. So, but anyway, so there's going to be some turbulence. Everybody buckles up. I've never experienced this before. The whole plane lifted up. You could feel it lifting. And it just free fell. And then it must have hit the pocket of her. Bam! And then the whole plane began to shake, like just like somebody grabbed the witch. It was like being in a washing machine. I mean, people were eating, the food flew everywhere, all the bins opened up, luggage was everywhere, the stewardess was useless. She went into a fetal position, was crying hysterically. I mean, the whole thing was just absolute chaos. People were screaming, shrieking, writing their wills on the back of barf bags. It was like nothing I've ever experienced, you know? I started chanting, you know, where are our prayers? Exhibit A, hold these beads up. Hold it so they can see. Hold the bag up. So we have the prayer beads in these for meditation. So I began chanting because it was bedlam. People were screaming and yelling. So I was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This lady who was so adverse to me, she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm chanting in names of God. She said, how does it go? We said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I mean, we bonded. It was a bonding moment. And it seemed like it went on for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It was only probably just a few minutes, you know. And at the end of the thing, you know, she had food all over her, you know, hairdo had all defluffed, and the eyelashes were off, mascara had all around. The whole veneer was gone, you know. And she told me, quite innocently, she said, I'm terrified of flying. And if I hadn't been next to you, I probably would have died of a heart attack. You know, we were friends. She was very grateful, you know. Bought my Bhagavad Gita, so many things. So, I don't know. Oh, what I wanted to say is that never happened to the planet Earth. I mean, people are we see a bird fly, and with a little intelligence, they, you know, design wings and they make an airplane, and they're very proud of it, you know. Anything God can do, we can do better. No, my friend, you can't. He makes whole planets. Anyone now, where's my... I wish I had my... You should have a fat guy here in the audience. How fast does the Earth spin around?
24,000.
I think it's actually... I think it's 1,800. But I don't know what it is. But hey, it's going fast. It's spinning like this. And what else is the Earth doing? It's going around the sun. Anyone even feel their hair ruffling? Anyone feel any wind? I mean, I put you in, because I got a little hundi out here. If I went more than 700 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, the wheels would fall off. But imagine on something going 1,800 miles an hour and spinning. It never crashes. Never, you know. The best engine, I think a gas combustion engine only gets, I think it's 15% return. You know, the energy that goes in it, burning, and everything through the friction, this and that, the motion they actually get forward is only 15%. 85% of the energy is lost in the reaction. You follow me? I think steam is 30 to 35%. It's a more efficient energy. You know a little one-cell paramecia, a little bacteria thing? It has a little flagella that moves it. I think it has a bunch of them around it. It moves, its motor is designed at 85% efficiency. 85%? And it happened by chance. The best minds in the world, they get you 40, 50 miles a gallon, you know, electric car, you gotta make sure you got a place to plug in. This thing is moving at 80, it's a motor. And not only that, suppose I make a car, right? I would go back to the car thing. Suppose I make an airplane. Can I take two airplanes, put them in a hangar, leave them long enough, and I get a little baby airplane? Is it self-replicating? Is it self-healing? I mean, we got a scratch, it heals itself. That is an amazing thing. Someone said, can you show me the mystic power of God? My guru said, the mystic power of God is all around us. Someone said, show me God. He said, the amazing thing is that you can't see God. That's the real question. Krishna's mystic power is all around us. So, wherever we see order, wherever we see pattern, which we see all over the place, there's an intelligence behind it. Any magical thinking so far? Anyone want to disagree with me on that one? Okay. So let's see. Let's take function from design. You know the people that dig around, anthropologists, and they dig around, they're always looking for pot shards, and they glue them all together, and they get some kind of shaped vessel that, oh, you know, this was a funeral urn, which means they were, you know, a fertility cult. You know, from the design, they put the thing together, and from the design, they figure out the function. You with me? They can figure out the whole. So from the design, they determine the function. No magical thinking. Just think about it for a minute, this body. We said the initial premise, eat, drink, and be merry, right? For tomorrow you'll die. So just have a good time. The Vedic sages are seers of truth in our tradition. And you'll find it in every genuine spiritual tradition. If you analyze this body, I mean, it's simple. This body is for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I mean, they may be more sophisticated. Instead of Fred Flintstone rolling a boulder off a cliff, we drop, you know, smart bombs. They knock on the door. Anybody home? You open the door, boom, you know. Or whatever it may be. Drones, you know, I don't know, whatever. They've got so many different things. But the principle of defending is the same. Instead of eating, you know, simple leaves and berries, they have, you know, a whole, so many different courses. It's sleeping, whatever it is, you know. You're sleeping on the bench, or you're sleeping in a cave, or you're sleeping in the penthouse. Actually, most people sleep better. What is it? Heavy lays the head that wears the crown. So, you know, big anxiety if you're in charge or responsible. People toss and turn. So one of the biggest problems is getting to sleep. One of the biggest businesses in America is pharmaceutical. And a huge portion of that is so that people can sleep. And then they have a pill that helps you stay awake up. And then you take all kinds of things in the middle, you know, to reduce stress and anxiety. So a pill to go to bed, a pill to wake up, and a pill to get through the middle of the thing. Hey, it's a growth industry, pharmaceuticals. How did we get off on that? Oh, so, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's what the body does. With bears or pigs or anywhere you want to go. So let's look at it. If this world is meant to simply, if this body and this life is meant to simply enjoy the senses. You with me? Is that what this body is designed for? Pigs can eat a hog. I mean, was it a cow? Elephant. How many bales of hay does an elephant eat? Anyone know? Where's my fat guy when I eat it? You know, so many bales of hay. No problem. Cows have three stomachs. They load it on. We have an elephant. If you ever go to our world headquarters in Mayapur, you can feed this. What is her name? Not Gulab. Gulab is the only, I forget her name. Huh? Lakshmi. You can take a banana stalk and you cut it into pieces about this big, and she eats, you know, the green stalk. She eats those like bonbons. You just feed. You can see her eyes are rolling. You know, she can knock through three or four banana trees. No problem. You know, we try that. Forget it. A little bit too much. We're finely calibrated. We get indigestion. We get diseases. One of the biggest causes of disease is diet. You know, I mean, bear sleeps. How long does a bear hibernate for? I think it's only 3 months. How long can you sleep? Sunday, you knock on somebody, you call somebody, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday in America, oh, they're fried. The biggest happiness is just sleep. My guru called it the taste of death. Conk out, big fluffy cushion. So nice. But the bear's got us defeated. He's going for 3 months at a shot. You know? So my point is, from function, from design, if we look at what this body's designed for, it's not, and we could go into it, it's not designed for eating, it's not designed for sleeping, it's not designed for mating. We're defeated by so many other bodies are better at it. What is this body? Man is called the, fill in the blank, animal. Man is called the, who said rational? Ah, 10 points for that man. Rational. One of our great acharyas or teachers in our line, Sanatana Goswami, spoke 7 languages, was the prime minister of Bengal. Bengal was at that time the size of France, West Bengal, East Bengal, it was one place. The British second capital of the British Empire was Calcutta, was put in Bengal because of its power and opulence. It's the raw, you know, it was, and he's the prime minister under was it Nawab Hussein Shah? So such a sophisticated person, Sanatana, but this is only 500 years ago. We all believe, anybody here doubt Columbus? 1492, Columbus sailed the blue, ocean blue? Any anti-Columbus believers? Okay, fine, you all accept Columbus, right? Same time period, Sanatana Goswami, his house is there, his books are there. Some fictitious person, keenly intelligent, expert, spoke 7 languages. He said, when he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I have one question. Actually, it's 2 questions. But one, they fit into each other. I don't know who I am, and I don't know why I'm suffering. This is intelligence. Who am I, and why am I suffering? And if we're honest, all of us, anybody here want to die? We've got these masochists among us? Anybody want to die? But it's forceful. See, when I came to the temple in Los Angeles, the first thing I heard, you think I'm proud now, you should have seen me in those days. And I thought, why bow down? You know, like the devotees came and I saw them bow down. I thought, let him convince me first, then I'll bow down. You know? And Prabhupada, because he was, Srila Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj, because he was speaking to the audience, but in the course of his talk, and he looked right at me, he said, it's all right that you don't bow down. It's all right. He said, you can bow down out of intelligence, recognizing that we're living by the mercy of Krishna. He said, you can bow down out of love. He said, you can bow down out of intelligence. You can bow down out of love. He said, or you can have your head pushed down at the time of death. Either way, you must bow down. Believe me, next time I came to the temple, I bowed down. You know? But what is the function? It's not magical thinking. Look at this body. What is it designed for? We're getting close to the end, but let me give you another example. Our premise is that there is another dimension. There is another power, energy, beyond what you see. They still have they've gone from particles to waves to string theory. But they still have, don't you have the chemical chart? What do they call that thing? The element chart?
Periodic table.
Periodical table. Yeah, the periodical table is there. And they have their concepts of them. Of course, they got their mind blown when evidently something may have gone faster than the speed of light, which means everything they know is wrong. The guys at Caltech are completely in anxiety. But our premise is just to get you thinking that, you know, whatever mindset we're in and whatever conditional, the average American under hypnosis can remember over, I think it's 450 commercial jingles. That's all jammed in our brain. My guru said about brainwashing, he said, is chanting is brainwashing? He said, if the brain is dirty, shouldn't you wash it? It's pretty simple logic, you know. But we think that we're supposed to be happy at every moment. I should be. We're always calibrating. Take a quick inventory. Am I happy? Am I happy? Is my mind satisfied? Are people honoring me properly? Is my tongue being titillated? Am I warm? Am I cold? You know, all these calibrations. And we think that that is our birthright, or that is the business of life. Our point is that there's a whole other dimension of thought, there's a whole dimension of reality, there's a whole dimension of ourself. If I can present to you one thing that they don't calculate, that means a whole... If you calculate the whole sum and substance of the world, and then all of a sudden somebody says, oh, this is over here, oh, I missed something. Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada. Why consciousness matters? If you're inside this room and it's daylight outside, I mean, this is a softball, easy, full of hints. I'm inside, I'm looking through the window. There's a big tree outside. It's daylight. And I ask you, is the wind blowing? How do I know the wind is blowing? I'm inside, outside. I'm wondering, is the wind blowing outside? And there's a big tree outside the window. That's all you get. I'm not giving you a bigger hint. Anyone want to take a guess? Yeah, if you get it wrong, you still get the Sunday feast. We'll still be friends. Don't worry. Yes, young man.
You see the tree move?
Oh. You don't see, if you see the tree move, chant Hare Krishna. Because there's a lot of other things going to be moving real fast. You know? What do you see on the tree moving? You're in the right way.
The leaves.
You see the leaves. Yeah, you were speaking in a generic sense, Jay. Yeah. You see the leaves moving. You don't see the wind, right? You see the symptom of the wind. Consciousness, and I'm going to talk about consciousness in a minute. Consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Each one of us, I think, therefore I am, each one of us has our seer, the seen, and the act of seeing. This was Srila Bhakti, one of our great acharyas, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said human form of life means to come to the point of seer, seen, and the act of seeing. That's a whole thing we'll go into some other time. But we're conscious, and each one of us is a little bit different consciousness, isn't it? We're all individual. There's not, it's all one. Nice try. Then give me your bank balance. Give me your wallet. Oh, all of a sudden it's not all one. Somebody said that oneness, anyway. Let me give you a simple example. I've said it before, but it's worth remembering. This is called the Chinese room example. The point is, consciousness is not magical thinking. We're not talking magical thinking, oh, you know, let's hold hands and hope for a seance. We're not talking that. Anyone have one of those little calculators? You don't have to have it on you. You know about it, you've experienced. A little calculator, you go to a foreign country and you want to know, hey, I'm a vegetarian, you know, or whatever the, you know, where's the plane, where's the airport, whatever it is, you have some question, you know, did I just get cheated? You know, whatever the question, you can punch it in your language. And it'll come in another language, right? That's not magical thinking. You ever seen one of those things? You can get them in French, you can get them in Swahili, you can get them whatever you want, right? Okay, so you're with me. Now, how does that little computer work? Is there a little Chinese guy in there? You know? Make sure you feed him enough dim sum and he'll keep working. You know? How's it working? For the Spanish guy, you gotta, you know, whatever it is, you know? Different menus for different computers, set of batteries, it comes with, you know, guacamole, you know. How does it work? You know what, well, how is it working? It's simply a little computer inside, isn't it? What's a computer? It's simply circuitry, isn't it? Really, it's just pluses and minuses. It is a program based on pluses and minuses, zeros and ones. That's it. No Chinaman inside. No ghost in the box. You with me? All right, fine. Now, because the presentation is, was it 2001? What was that movie?
Space Odyssey.
And wasn't the computer HAL?
Yes.
And they wanted to unplug him? And HAL outsmarted them? He said, hey man, you're going down before me, you know? So the presentation is that if you build a computer complicated enough, at some point, hey, they have a computer that just won Jeopardy, beat the human contestant on Jeopardy. Interestingly enough, computers are completely dumb as a rock when it comes to poker. They can play chess. They cannot play poker because it's all based on bluffing and reading the other partners. No, they can't play bridge. But especially at poker, they're an absolute disaster. Presentation is, if you get a computer sophisticated enough, big enough, at some point in time, it will be able to do everything the brain does. And it will develop. Ooh, there'll be a magic moment that it becomes conscious. There will be an aha, I am moment. That's the presentation, right? Hey, we believe it. People say, I met a top guy at UCSD, one of the best hard science colleges in America, universities. He said, we're going to be there in no time. He said, it's simply a question of whether the computers will keep us around. Because they're going to run everything. Yeah, and he said he's going to live forever because he's going to, you know, anyway, with cloning, he's going to be able to make new heart, new lung, you know. Or you can get a new brain with a computer. I said, make sure you have a backup. So, Chinese room example. Back to our little no ghost in the machine translated. The premise is, if I get enough people in a room, if I get a sophisticated enough computer, there will be a point that it will become a person, and it will have a sense of identity. It will be conscious. You with me? Because it's all running on that principle. That's where it's all going to wind up. If I were to take, suppose I filled the Rose Bowl with people. Now, I could write a program that translated from English to Chinese. I would start at the one goal post, or one, you know, entrance at this end, and they would just pass it. If I got a one from you, I'd give a zero to you. If I got a zero to you, I'd get a one from you. We would all act as circuitry. You follow? And it's just pluses and minuses, and just zeros and ones. If I had a big enough room, wrote a program, it's a simple program, I could use people to translate Chinese. Make sure they get enough chopsticks and they are fed well, right? You with me? No magical thinking there. At any point in that room, did anyone in that Rose Bowl learn one word of Chinese? There was an aha moment and they spoke Chinese. Did it happen? No. They don't even know they're translating Chinese. They could be doing inventory for Walmart. They're just getting zeros on. They don't even know they're translating Chinese. So why? There is no example. It is simply a false premise. You get a sophisticated computer, over time, will develop consciousness. No, you won't. You can simulate a few of the functions of consciousness. Therefore, consciousness, the symptom of the eternal soul, is something that's beyond the mundane purview. That's just one example. So we're going to end here because of the time factor. Why does all this matter? Why am I ranting on like this? I have to see why I'm ranting on. All right, let's say it this way. It is the beginning of a new year. You know, depending on your calendar. People traditionally make resolutions. I won't ask you to raise hands, but, you know, lose weight, be a better person, spend more time with my kids, whatever it is. People make so many risks. Lose weight is a big one, if I didn't say it already. Usually they last maybe to the end of January, if you're lucky, you know. There's a devotee, Radha Dasi, who makes this carob German coconut cake. Nobody's going to resist that. I'm sorry, Prabhus. It is a resolution breaker. And it's offered to Krishna. It's nice for Krishna. Prabhupada tells a story about a woodcutter. I'm going to tell two stories and we'll be done. Prabhupada tells a story about a woodcutter. You know, chopping wood. Go to the forest, chop wood. It's hard work. You know, you're out there in the forest. It's hot. You're hungry. You know, heavy lifting. Oh. So he sits against a tree to rest, and he thinks, I wish this wood would just chop itself. Now, throughout many different traditions, they have what they call a desire tree, a wish-fulfilling tree. We call it Chintamani tree. So this, all of a sudden, the woodcutter says, I wish this wood would just chop itself. And lo and behold, the axe floats through the air, and the wood starts chopping itself. Everything's fantastic. I must be sitting under a desire tree, but not to be, tested out with hypothesis theory, experiment like that. He says, all right, wood, stack yourself. All the wood stacks itself. He thinks, this is great. He said, I'm hot out here. I wish I had a beautiful tent. All of a sudden, there's a tent. You can't really enjoy unless you've got your friends. He said, all my friends could be here. All of his friends show up. He says, and you know, what's a party without feast? I said, it's a party without the police, but that's another thing. I said, when I grew up, it's not a party unless the police come, but that's another story. So, tent is up, fantastic feast, musicians. He's having a fantastic time. But they say time flies when you're having a good time. So he was a little unused. He was not quite used to having his desire tree. So all of a sudden, it's just about to become dark. He's all in the forest. He's an experienced woodcutter. He said, I better get out of the forest. Surely a tiger will come and eat me. What happened? Tiger came and ate him. So they have a saying, be careful what you ask for. You may get it. We are like a hamster on a wheel. I feel like it's with email sometimes. The more you answer, the more they go, oh my gosh, they're going to reply. You know, when am I going to get off this thing? You know? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that material desires are like lust, kama, this burning, it burns like fire and is never satisfied. Ambarish, Alfred Ford, he's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I was at a fundraiser with him one time, for a temple. And somebody, whoever was speaking, said, money can't buy happiness. And Ambarish, Alfred Ford, you know, Ford Motor Company, very wealthy man, he's building our headquarters, our beautiful temple in Mayapur. He turned to me and he said, you know, he said, people who don't have money hope that that is true. You know, money can't buy happiness. Because if it turns out you need to buy money, it takes money to buy happiness, then most of us are up a creek. You know, and that really sucks. So he said, Amber said, people say that? That money can't buy happiness? He said, most people think that's true. Then he said, rich people know that it's true. And he's got the, out of the, those who won the the Massachusetts lottery, over $1 million or more over the last 25 years, 67% wish they'd never won the money. Dimwit relatives come out of the, you know, the wife gets a, whatever it is, a facelift and dumps you for somebody else. I mean, you know, whatever happens, you know. You buy the new Porsche and you drive too fast and crash into a wall. Your kids all become, I mean, we could go on and on. The kids all become spoiled, rotten. Somebody develops a drug habit. I mean, so many things. We could go on and on and on. So the point I'm making, just like this woodcutter, we have so many, this is a new year. We have so many burning desires. But that's not what this body is designed for. This life is very temporary. Here's the other story on the other side of the coin. There was a man. He was poor, poverty-stricken. He was blind, and he was childless. So these are his obstacles. Here's the big three. Let's see if you can answer this. He has blind, poverty-stricken. If you've heard this before, don't answer. Blind, poverty-stricken, and what was it? And childless. Most pious people, they want to have a family. He was given one wish. And for any attorneys out there, he could not wish for unlimited wishes. Okay, that's it. You got one wish. So if you're poverty-stricken, blind, and childless, what do you do with your one wish? You want to hazard a guess? You wish to see your children from the roof of your palace. Follow? You wish to see your children from the roof of your palace. Our position is this. We have tried, it's not magical thinking, it's not sentiment. Sumedha says, as I said from the beginning, if you have clear intelligence, those with clear intelligence understand, I'm not this body. I am the soul within. They understand that there is a creator who is unlimitedly merciful and who is the cause of all causes. My guru saw you're in good hands with Allstate? He quoted Yokeshmam Vahamiham, the Krishna preserves what you have, he brings what you lack. He said, you think you're sitting on the floor? I am sitting in the hand of Krishna. So, there's Krishna, we're not this body, there's the kingdom of God, spiritual dimension, free from birth, death, disease, and old age. I promise I wouldn't, but let me just say this. What is your name, young man?
Chiron.
Chiron.
Yes.
Suppose we're meeting for the first time, and I give you $100. Think, hey, visit more often. Right? What's that guy's name? You know? My new best friend. So what's your name?
Rohan.
Huh?
Rohan.
Okay, so you, Rohan. So you, hey, Rohan. Hey, that guy, he just gave me $100. You say, gee, that's fun. He gave me $1,000. How do you feel then? Well, I mean, you're equipoise, but most will think, hey, wait a minute, I've been chipped. No, you were happy with $100. Also, wait, there's a whole, and you find out I gave everybody else in the room $1,000, you're mad as hell. What did I do to the guy? How come I ticked him off, you know? We are accepting the small potatoes in this world. A little titillation, as I was saying from the beginning, a little scratch the itch, a little titillate the tongue, or you know, whatever it is. Brahmaputta prasanatmana sojite nakanchite. One who is on the spiritual platform, no hankering, no lamenting, full satisfaction at every moment of the soul, in front of the greatest adversity. At the time of death, I have seen devotees leave this world. Cancer, leukemia, things happen, you know. This body wears out and you got to die of something. Completely equipoised, completely fearless, happy. I saw a devotee leave this world, extend his hand and say, Prabhupada, you came. That his guru actually came to deliver him. So, this year, make a resolution. At the very end, there had to be one. No problem, Mataji, we're almost done. It's the full experience. Usually I get three, so. Use your intelligence. It is not sentiment, it's not magical thinking, it's not wishful thinking. Krishna is real. The soul is real. We need to practice, like the people in the very beginning with the inverted glasses, we're now seeing things upside down. But if we make a vow, read Bhagavad Gita. That means we're reading the newspaper, you read the cereal box, people read that. Dear Abby, who's been married and divorced twice, you're going to go to her for advice? I think she's dead now, isn't she? I mean, no offense, but no. Read Bhagavad Gita, chapter day. Drops of water wear away stone. Chant japa. You know, whatever you chant, increase this japa meditation. It is so easy. It is so sweet. Associate with the devotees. Make the best friends in the world. You want to do something fun? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am adventure. Come and do some save at the temple. We have one devotee. I promise I didn't, but I'm cheating. I'm honest. There's a devotee. His name is Bhakta Paul. He's in San Diego Temple. He just moved into the temple. Finished college, moved into the temple. His mother came to see him. She lives in La Jolla. La Jolla is like Laguna. It's a, you know, well-to-do place, materially. There's a lot of angst, trust me. So she came down the hill to our little temple in Pacific Beach, said, where's my son, Paul? I said, oh, he's in the kitchen. She said, what's he doing in the kitchen? I said, he's washing pots. She thought, she said, pot? She said, I couldn't get him to wash a spoon at my house. you know, kid, anyone raised teenager, forget it, man. So I said, come on, we went around the back. Anyone who's looked into the kitchen is, you know, to cook for large pots, these big pots, you know. And he's not that tall guy, he's maybe 5'6", 5'7". Practically his whole body from the waist up was immersed in this pot. He was scrubbing when it was Monday morning after Sunday feast. And he was chanting Hare Krishna. He was happy. He was singing so happily. working, you know, working hard. And his mother just looked at me. She got it. The mother said, there must be some taste here, she said, because I couldn't get him to wash a spoon. If I told him to clean up his room, it was like I sent him to Siberia. And you've got him slaving away, and he's happy as a lark, singing. How is it possible? And this is the taste of life. Come into some service at the temple. You'll find out. So my simple point is, it's not magical thinking. It is real. The methodology is there, laid out by all of our previous saints and sages. It's an ABC, paint by numbers, but be serious. Instead of hankering for so many things, why not do the one thing that can solve all the problems? Chant Hare Krishna. Come Krishna's devotee. So thank you for sitting so patiently. We should end there. Hare Krishna. And what happens now, Rishi?
Kirtan.
So now we have a little chanting.